Aaron, thank you for that testimony. You should be happy that you were not my little brother. When I was in junior high school in Bakersfield, California, I liked to tease my little brother. I had three. One day while shopping, I abandoned my much younger brother, little Michael with wire-rimmed glasses. It was a lot of fun for me. Ditch the little brother was the game. Has anyone played that game before? I remember walking around the corner and running quickly and hiding. I waited and waited, and when I returned, I found my little brother Michael with wire-rimmed glasses, tears in his eyes, crying, feeling abandoned, feeling forsaken. I was a cruel big brother on that occasion. But I learned a little about the terrible power of forsakenness and abandonment by watching my little brother endure my trick. He experienced a feeling of forsakenness. I experienced it vicariously by watching. Life also seems, on occasion, to abandon us. We have hopes and plans for things that don't occur, like getting into a dream school. And then after getting into the dream school, getting into the dream job after we graduate. Sadly, life's fickleness seems to abandon us, and we don't always accomplish all of our dreams and hopes. Some of us do more than others. We may have hoped for a beautiful storybook marriage, but the person we wanted said no. Has that happened to anybody? Don't raise your hands. We felt empty and hurt for years. Perhaps we were in a marriage and the mate abandoned us, or the marriage fell apart. Boyfriend or girlfriend left us. I think of Tiger Woods. I follow golf a little bit. Tiger Woods is struggling with a back condition, and he recently pulled out of the Arnold Palmer Invitational. I can tell you, I understand back conditions. In the military, I injured my back, and there have been two or three occasions where I've been lying on the floor in pain. I can't get up. I'm in pain. Has that happened to anybody? You really feel abandoned and forsaken when you have a physical issue. All of us, one of these days, will experience some form of forsakenness. Some of us can be thankful that we haven't experienced it yet. But we will one day have that experience. It's a common reality for Christian and non-Christian alike. Muslim, Christian, atheist, it is a human experience to have this kind of thing. Even a young Jewish intellectual, Elie Wiesel, Holocaust survivor, who wrote a little book called The Night, which people read in high school. His parents were executed in a concentration camp, burned. And he wrote about the death of God. He certainly had this feeling of abandonment and forsakenness. For many of us, this kind of forsakenness and suffering leads us to question God. Yet it also opens doors for God to enter in. Because as we will see, Jesus also knew about forsakenness. He knew about abandonment. He knew what it was to be alone. The experience is also found in the Old Testament. The feeling of abandonment. You know King David? He wrote Psalm 22. This is called the prophetic psalm. And it was written 800 years before Jesus uttered his words. My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning? Oh, my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer. And by night, but I find no rest. Jesus knew this experience as he hung on the cross. The anointed one, the Messiah, the Savior faced an abandonment on the cross as he bore the burden and weight of the sins of the world upon himself in a most perfect sacrifice. Crucifixion for Christians is essential to our faith. I don't know if you've noticed in the Gospels, most of the attention is placed upon the crucifixion. Because it's the crucifixion that actually fulfilled the mission of Jesus. The resurrection is important, but the resurrection is a reminder to us that we too will rise from the dead. It's essential also, but the gospel writers spent more time on the crucifixion. Mark chapter 15 shows us Jesus, our Savior, he chose the path of the cross. That was his mission, the reconciliation of God to humanity, to actualize the rule of God in our lives and over the world. So don't think if you're suffering, you are alone in your suffering. Jesus, his abandonment and his forsakenness was great, indeed much greater than any of ours, because he bore the sins of the world upon himself. His saving act transformed existence. He chose it. Most of us don't choose abandonment. We run from it. We fill up our lives with media, friends. We don't choose to be forsaken. But Jesus Christ, the Son of God, chose that path. And he did it for a reason. My first point is this morning. Forsakenness was part of his mission. For Jesus, abandonment and forsakenness was the plan. It was designed. It was the reason why he came to earth, incarnate Son of God, taking the cross upon himself. And he told the disciples he was going to die. They didn't believe it. They wouldn't have it. They wouldn't want Jesus to be in this condition, forsaken on the cross, crying out to God, my God, why have you forsaken me? According to Christian belief, it was his act of supreme greatness and sacrifice, an act of surrender, of death, even death on a cross, which has brought eternal life and healing to humans who embrace him. To all those in this world of rebellion and sin who surrender to God and repent of their sin. If you don't surrender to God, if you don't repent of your sin, you will be lost. A lot of people have church background and experience. They grew up in the church. That's not going to save you. Jesus Christ's death on the cross, dying for you, is what saves you. It's not the church. Jesus himself talks about the meaning of his death on several occasions. His death wasn't meaningless. God did not abandon Jesus on the cross. In fact, in Mark chapter 10, verse 45, at the Last Supper, if you remember, James and John, sitting next to him, one on the right, one on the left, said to him, "We want to be in the prime place next to you, Jesus." And the Bible says the Son of Man also came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as ransom for many. If you want to follow Jesus Christ, you embrace the concept that your Lord gave his life as ransom for many. We too carry a cross. And that cross is to communicate the gospel with other people. If we're walking around as Christians and we never share the faith, we never share to others about who Christ is, we're riding on a metro sitting next to someone and quiet, and we never even take one opportunity in our life to share Jesus Christ, we are failing. Also, the Gospels and Paul speak about the significance of Christ's shed blood. Mark 14:24, the communion. the Holy Communion, the institution of the Lord's Supper. Jesus says in Mark, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many." And Matthew adds, "For the forgiveness of sins." And Paul in 1 Corinthians writes, "For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." We are about, as Christians, the death of Jesus Christ because it offers us hope. It offers us freedom. And not only in this life, but into the future. Not only the present, but the future until he comes. The mission was clear. The death of Christ was the essential element in his messianic mission to earth. And his forsakenness on the cross is our hope and the hope for others. For if we're hanging on the cross, we are exposed. You realize most of the crucifixes you see with Jesus on the cross, Jesus is clothed with a loin cloth. Do you know how terrible the crucifixion was in that culture? You know, nakedness was not a good thing. But Jesus was naked, probably, on the cross. Totally exposed. Forsaken. And he is our Lord. We embrace the cross. We embrace his experience. So God puts us in places sometimes where we have to be vulnerable with our faith. We have to express our belief and faith to others. The mission was clear. The death of Christ was the essential element in his mission. And his forsakenness on the cross is our hope and the hope of others also. Secondly, although forsaken, Jesus still communed with the Father. The scripture tells us in Mark 15, that at noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. And at 3 p.m, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani? My God, why have you forsaken me?" That language is the Chaldean. It's kind of near Hebrew, which was spoken at the time. The Gospel of Mark makes it very clear that Jesus had this experience of abandonment. I like the Gospel of Mark. It's a beautiful gospel. It's a gospel of action. It emphasizes the deeds of Jesus more than his words. In fact, Mark contains 18 miracles out of the 37 that we find in the Gospels. And he only has 4 parables of the 30. If you look at Mark, you will see immediately that almost half of the book of Mark is about the passion of Jesus. It's about the last days. Some people say that Mark is really a passion story with a long introduction. If you're a seeker, if you want to find out about Jesus, reading the Gospel of Mark is one of the best places you want to start. If you're struggling with your identity as a Christian, you're enmeshed in sin, you're failing God in some way, I challenge you to pick up the book of Mark and read it afresh and allow the life of Jesus Christ to touch you through that gospel. When we think of a Savior, a Messiah, we think of a heroic figure, don't we? Who dies fighting the enemy to free a nation. That's what a Savior is. Dies fighting to free a nation. And yet, Jesus, when he died, he was cursed by his own nation. Jesus came to his people and became the Lamb of God who died. His people, the Jewish people, executed him. This text that we're looking at is full of an emotion in many ways, because Jesus, not only did he say, my God, why have you forsaken me? But he had been forsaken and cast out by the people. Why? My immediate response is, why, God? Why? What's going on here? Why didn't you answer his prayer? Why didn't you take Jesus down from the cross? And this image also, we see that all of existence seems to be impacted by this moment on Golgotha, the hill of the skull. The sky became dark. It's almost as if the cosmos itself is protesting or grieving the goings-on there. We can picture the one who, according to Philippians 2:8, Jesus, is found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. His forsakenness was his obedience. He was obeying. He was doing his mission faithfully. The text shows Jesus being obedient to the mission of the cross, yet it also shows on the cross he had relationship with God. When you say, my God, you're talking about someone that you are in communion with. So we have this contrast. On the one hand, forsaken. On the other hand, in communion with the Father. He experienced forsakenness and intimacy with the Father at the same time. The Father chose not to take away the punishment that was exerted upon Jesus for the sins of the world. Often this text is interpreted at face value. The immediate impression is that Jesus is crying out, God's left him, he's sorrowful. There may be an aspect of that there. This is a mysterious text. But many people tend to also accept the reality that since Jesus knew he was going to die, this was his plan in the very beginning. He was doing it in communion with his Father. So many of us who know abandonment in life can in some way identify a little with this tragic picture. Christ calling out to God with great feeling. It was his mission. Did the Father truly abandon the Son? Was he abandoned hanging up on the cross? Did Jesus give up hanging there, unable to escape? Was he disillusioned with God, the Father? What do you think? What do you think? I challenge you to read the scripture, because I think that you will come to a conclusion that this crucifixion was in the plan of God. It was for that purpose that he came into the world. It's not a tragedy. It is a victory that you share if you confess Jesus Christ. As we assume the cross as Christians and bear the cross that we bear ourselves, we do it with Jesus Christ. If we experience forsakenness, abandonment, because we are visibly Christians, if you're a Christian in a high school and you kind of indicate that you're a Christian, would you get teased today? Even in the workplace, would you get teased? Is there persecution out there for Christians? Yes, there is. So if you experience abandonment and forsakenness for your faith, you can identify with Jesus Christ. Crucifixion was not a pretty sight. I want you to note that the terror of it in the Gospels is somewhat minimized. The Gospels don't say everything about crucifixion. Even the Gospel writers don't share the gory details totally about what crucifixion is. Visual culture today, movies, media, take away the opportunity for yourself to imagine or reflect. Because you don't need to do that today when you read. Because most people don't read. Most people watch movies. Most people watch pictures about the crucifixion of Jesus. You have the Mel Gibson movie, The Passion. And he put everything in there that you can imagine about cruelty and punishment and evil that takes place on the cross. Visual images. Friends, the visual images are not significant. They are mere scenery to what is going on behind the scenes. Because what is going on behind the scenes is that Jesus Christ is fulfilling his mission to free people from the death that is coming their way. Crucifixion was for the lowest of people in those days. Jesus on the cross, being executed, it wasn't a very honorable thing. And yet, the picture of that needs to be turned on its head, because his death was really a victory. The death of Jesus was essential to his messianic mission. When some of those standing near heard this, they said, "Listen, he's calling Elijah." Someone ran, filled a sponge with wine, vinegar, put it on a staff, and offered it to Jesus to drink. "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes down to him," he said. I explained earlier, Jesus was on this messianic mission to save humankind from their rebellion because he loved humans. He understood that our slavery to sin and desire for self was a path to hell. The disciples misunderstood him, though. They didn't think that he should die. In fact, when he claimed that he was going to die, on many occasions they rejected that claim. "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," crying out on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me?" People mistook what he was saying, and they thought that he was calling out to the prophet Elijah in his death. When you die on a cross, you become delusional. They thought he was delusional, crying out to the prophet to take him down. But he was calling out to his Father, God. Friends, God was not about to come down out of the sky to save Jesus. That was his mission. Even Peter didn't get it when he rebuked Jesus, announcing his impending death. There was a time when Jesus told Peter that he was going to die, and Peter said, "Jesus, don't submit yourself to death." And Jesus said to him, "Get behind me, Satan." The Gospels make it clear in several places that Jesus' death was not simply one more tragic event in history. It was a deliberate act of salvation, a missionary act, the mission being accomplished. And there's four key areas that his death touches, and I want to look at them briefly. Atoning, redemption, paying the price that we should pay for our own sins. This doctrine, atonement, is concerning the reconciliation of God and humankind, especially as accomplished through the life, suffering, and death of Jesus. Atonement. Secondly, substitutionary death. Christians, we believe that Christ took our place on the cross. Christ stood where we need to stand because of our sin. Because a holy God cannot tolerate sin. And Christ took that place for us. Sacrificial. Throughout the New Testament, when we take communion, we take the juice, the blood. That's a sacrificial term. So for Christians, communion is also a sacrificial element. Also, it's eschatological, which means the future. Christ died for us now, but also for the future. For us today, but it impacts the future also. The text For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Until he comes. And it's also victorious. There's a theological discussion about the impact of Jesus on our lives. His death is a victory. Jesus' death is a victorious act conquering the kingdom of Satan. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus saw how he died, he said, "Surely this man was the Son of God." Two images here. The image from the temple, the curtain being torn, and the image of the Roman centurion, both pointing to God, a God kind of thing. According to George Eldon Ladd, a great New Testament scholar at Fuller Seminary, this passage shows us a glimpse into what some claim is the greatest event in world history, the death, the crucifixion of Christ. It means something greater than what many of us can imagine. Jesus was on a mission, and his mission was to prepare men and women for the future kingdom of God, the coming judgment. Judgment is coming. The death of Christ is about the judgment coming. We will all stand before a living God and give an account. And who will stand in our place? It is Jesus Christ. Confused people thought he was calling out to Elijah. They were still clueless. It's so typical. Even today, there are people that are confused about the nature and significance of Jesus' death on the cross. I side with the centurion. Surely, this must be the Son of God. And I ask you to side with the centurion today. Surely, this must be the Son of God. We see Jesus hanging on the cross. It was not an accident of history. It was a choice that he made to surrender himself for us. That's the message of the crucifixion. The forsakenness of God, the forsakenness of Christ, becomes our path to salvation. Your path to salvation. Let us pray. Lord, this morning, I want to thank you for what you did on the cross. Because what you did is more than the images, the visual images that we see on television or in movies. Awesome, gruesome images. We kind of think that that's what the cross is all about. But Lord, the cross is about the victory of God over the kingdom of Satan. And it offers us hope if we surrender our lives to God and accept what Jesus Christ has done. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
We thank God for